This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Want to join the show? 888-808-1019. We will get to your calls this segment. I'm not going to pretend like yesterday was some magical day or definitive day in New York baseball. It was not, but a couple of observations. One from the Yankees. I mean, this is exactly what you need from Max Fried with the money that you gave him and Gerrit Cole out for the year. When there's a losing streak, he's got to stop it. He stopped it. He looked great. And the Devin Williams thing, I think, will work itself out. But I wouldn't be as concerned if I didn't see the exact same thing happen to Edwin Diaz when he came to this town and could never figure it out in that first year and then finally obviously did. But he's got to get that confidence back. He doesn't sound like a guy that's got any confidence right now. Not that I know him all that well. I'm not used to the way he sounds in post games, but I mean, he sounds lost and disappointed and just can't figure it out. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I don't think it'll be a huge story. I don't think they're going to be, you know, releasing this guy mid-season or anything, but it is concerning. And for the Mets, you know, they're allowed to have one of those games after a six-game winning streak. But really, the only thing with them is this Brett Beatty situation. And Carlos Mendoza's asked about the game. He's like, oh, I'm not going to give up on the player. There's a lot to like there. And I think if all of us who watch Brett Beatty's career sort of unfold in front of us, it doesn't look like he's ever going to figure it out at this level. And then it's like, all right, well, what are we doing with him now? What you trade him, you release him, you just let him toil down in AAA where he hits really well. I'm not sure the answer, but the answer is not him in a big league uniform any longer.
No, and a couple of things there. One, I got to watch the first hour of this game, and then I listened to Howie on the radio for the most part the rest of the way. The point on the closers, to me, the one thing about yesterday, really for both of them, for Diaz and for Williams, it's always something. When these guys aren't in safe situations or in tight games, it's just, it doesn't have the same feel, and you get very below average performances, and both of them had their struggles yesterday for sure. The thing with Williams that's interesting is, you know, we didn't watch him in Milwaukee ever, and to me, the lasting impression I have is the Pete Alonso home run.
Yeah.
And so I think for him, it would be good if he started getting going in the right direction, because if you're a New York baseball fan, all you really think about is Alonso beating him in that big moment. And then the Beatty point is, this is what I keep coming back to. I understand not giving up on the player for sure. I mean, how many times have we talked about this in football with the quarterbacks like Sam Darnold, and, you know, who knows if Zach Wilson ever turns out to be anything, or, you know, we've seen it over and over again. Guys figure it out late.
Geno Smith
is another good one. But I would say this. Luis Angel Acuna last year was a big part, or at least a part of that run. Why is he not playing the middle infield every day? I know you want to see what Beatty is. I get it. All right, fine. To me, he's the better fit there. He just is.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something that I wanted to see. I thought that Jeff McNeil would be gone in the offseason.
He's coming back.
It would be Acuna's job 100%.
There's got to be something about his attitude toward the game at this point and immaturity that's not giving him that job every day, that they're looking for him to fight for it a little bit more and not just be handed to him. And I think that those comments by Francisco Lindor coming out of spring training about how he gets bored in certain situations, I mean, is telling. I mean, the fact that the leader of this team is saying that publicly about a guy, and now he has to focus a little bit more in situations and not take anything for granted, was telling to me. So the only thing I can say to answer that question is they want to see if Beatty's got anything left, and I also think that they don't want to just completely hand it over to Acuna. They want to see him fight for it. But the thing, I really don't understand why Jeff McNeil is still on this team. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. I understand why he ended up playing in the postseason last year, because Iglesias had been totally lost at that point, and they needed to score runs and they needed a boost. I didn't disagree with that as much as I disagreed with dusting off Kodai Senga in the playoffs in the way that they did. But coming back this year, why?
He's coming back. He's closer now than ever.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I don't know. Other than they're stuck with him and they don't have any other options other than to cut him, which they're not going to do. I don't know.
You could trade anybody anywhere. I mean, someone would take him for a low-level minor leaguer, and Steve Cohen eats a little bit of the salary, and they can say, hey, this is a former batting champion. I know it's a long time ago, but the Lindor-McNeil thing, even last year, he was like, oh, you know, we really like happy Jeff around here. It just shows you he's just a real pain in the ass in the clubhouse when he's not hitting. I don't know.
I'm with you. And the thing with Acuna, I know what you're saying, and the whole Lindor comments make total sense, but I do feel like he earned something last September and October. I don't know. When he played, they won. I mean, and he wasn't the only reason, clearly. The Iglesias thing was a big deal for sure. And Alonso coming alive in October was a big thing. And Lindor in Atlanta was a big. All of that is all true. And the way Minaya pitched and the pitching in the second half. But he was a big piece of that run. And to me, he earned a lot. But clearly I'm wrong, because he's not out there every day.
888-808-1019. Let's go to Chris, who's in Brooklyn. What's happening, Chris?
Hey, Gio, Jerry. How you doing today? Happy Thursday morning, fellas.
What's up, man?
Hey, so Masters Thursday. I'm actually in a car to LaGuardia right now, heading down. Meeting up with my mom. She's a big fan of you guys as well. We're going to the round tomorrow. I missed it. I was waiting on hold. Who'd you guys pick for your winners for this weekend? And Gene, any backdoor picks on your side?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tough with the pick and the winners. I do think that Rory's going to win. I also made a win bet on Shane Lowry. I had a little fun with a win bet on Phil Mickelson, but I do think a top 20 bet is a better one for him. And if you're looking for some either top 10s, top 20s, or take a flyer on other guys other than Lowry, Neiman and Corey Connors are two guys that I like a lot. So that's where I'm at, basically. And Colin Morikawa, another one. I know it's chalk, but I really do think that those guys at the top are going to play well. But some guys that aren't chalk, I think, you know, Corey Connors, Shane Lowry, Joaquin Neiman are guys that I like. Isn't your first Masters, or is it?
Yeah. It's a birthday for her. So we've been wanting to go for a couple of years. And
how'd you get tickets?
It's a while ago. Well, we went on StubHub, Jerry. Oh. I was watching the market closely for the last couple of months. And I mean, we still spent a pretty penny, but I don't know if you've been following. I mean, they skyrocketed. So supposedly this is the last year that it'll be more of a free reign. And next year, I guess the Masters will partner with some sort of secondary source so that it's all funneled into one secondary source. Because right now, I mean, tickets are like over 25 a ticket, which is ridiculous.
2,500?
No, sir.
Wait, what?
$25,000 a ticket?
Yeah, we pay nothing near that, though. I just want to make that clear.
Oh, okay.
But check on StubHub. Yeah.
Now, is that for the Sunday round when you said, or is that for like the full week pass?
Oh, no, Jerry. Sorry to correct you on both, but you're wrong on both. Yesterday was over 20.
For the practice round and the par 3 contest?
No, sorry, Jerry. Today is over like 20. And tomorrow and Saturday, they're like over 25.
Wow.
We bought them months ago, though. I was monitoring and got them. Like I said, we still spend, but nothing near that. So supposedly next year, the Masters are going to partner with someone which makes sense, so it's not the Wild West out there. But see, but you got to go. Listen to this, though, fellas. You have to go. You go down. So all along, I buy the tickets thinking that they're going to be mailed to me. And then about 2 days after I buy them, I get an email saying, sorry, we're not mailing them to you. You actually need to go to a location. So I guess because they're all daily passes, what happens, and I guess this is common the more I've read into it, that what happens is that I bought a daily pass that's tied to four, right? So the whole 4 days are for the week. So the person who has today gets the same ticket that I had, but for today, and they have to return it to the same location
oh
by 7:30 tonight.
Oh, yeah, my God. That sounds like a disaster.
Dude. Gio, believe me, man, I haven't really told that part of it to my mom, but so hopefully everything goes well. This whole trip has kind of been planned on me. But yeah, so I'm praying to God, you know, that you know, Joe Schmo doesn't have too many pimento cheese sandwiches and and a couple extra beers, and you know, forgets to deliver his ticket today. So
you are trusting strangers way too much for that amount of money, man.
Tickets don't disintegrate.
Like
And you think, gee, I've lived here for 37 years, and my trust would be disintegrated like those tickets that you talked about earlier,
yeah.
and it's not. But I'm knocking on wood that hopefully everything would go well. And gee, just one, and Jerry, one for you. Check out Seb Straka.
Yeah.
That's just the one one long term that I put in there.
I like Seb a lot. My friend that we do the pools together likes him. And good luck, Chris, and please call us and let us know how it went. But he's big on Sepp, who has won already this year. He's had some other top tens. He's a Georgia guy. I'm just not ready for him to take that leap in a field like this. But I do like him. So I'm looking at StubHub right now, and there's a Thursday, Friday, 2 day pass, and it says these are the last tickets remaining in section grounds. These are the only ones that they have up there. And they're 12,000 each. 12,000 each. And they're not 25, but they're 12,000.
And we just watched this thing on CBS that we talked about the other day on ticket scalping and the secondary market and StubHub. And anytime I sit there and say it's not fair to the consumer, it's what the market bears. People are going to spend this amount of money. It's absurd. It really is.
Yeah. I cannot wrap my head around the fact that our caller bought
yeah.
a one-day pass that is a part of a four-day pass that he has to pick up from somebody and then drop off at a location so another person can go get it. And he spent tens of thousands of dollars on it. Like, how are you ever going to be able to regulate that situation? I mean, I'm not missing anything there, right?
Well, I think the only way it's regulated is if he does not get the tickets. I'm sure, I would think, StubHub will back up. They do have the guarantee. So it's not like he went into Craigslist and bought the tickets where that money could be gone. I do think he is protected financially. Where he's not protected is the time and the travel. And because he's only got the one day. So if something happens, and let's even just say the guy doesn't return them, and he oversleeps and realizes at lunchtime tomorrow, and you still miss the whole morning. I agree, it's dicey.
And I guess that they have the person's name, too, that has the ticket, so it's not like you could just show up the next day and just ride that thing out or sell it. I mean, somebody would get to you at some point.
I think he could sell it, but I don't know that he couldn't go back there the next day with them. I don't know.
He could, but then eventually he's going to be found. But then again, like, what is the consequence?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's a great question.
That is the most bizarre ticket thing I've ever heard.
And to pay what they're paying and then have to go jump through hoops to get the tickets? Yeah, I didn't like the electronic tickets. This is like 10 times worse.
But this is secondary market. I know there's a lottery that you go in and you can get it. And at that point, I don't know how expensive those are. But yeah. I mean, I'm just going to have to ask Ann LaGoria for a press credential if I'm
going to go.
This sounds insane.
Yeah. It's the one thing I've always wanted to do, but it just doesn't seem feasible to get there.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. Why?
I feel bad.
For?
You know, Ann had reached out about wanting to come on. And, you know, Big Hurls hates golf. And I was like, I don't know, man.
Well, there's your guy. Sorry, Big Hurl said no.
I didn't even get back to her because I didn't want to throw Big Hurls under the bus, but I just did. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's down there and toiling right now.
Back in the day, we used to have the reports every hour.
I know. God, you got to go 1 minute, 7 minutes later.
And there's 8 golfers from Argentina.
Are those shorts a little tight? Because that's the way I see them in my head.
Fuzzy Zeller's using a new 60-degree wedge.
And I'm sleeping with the fan on again.
I really like Ann, but... Like, I just, at this point, I feel like I'm pushing it enough with talking about this stuff.
I hear you.
Reprimanded. Brian in Sayville, what's going on, Brian?
Really?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Hey, I won the lottery last year, and it cost a whopping $110 for a practice round. And the thing is, with the practice round, you could actually bring a camera.
Yeah, the practice round, it's the best way to go.
It is. I would totally shoot for a practice round rather than a weekend, God forbid. It's crazy.
Well, I remember when I went to the U.S. Open at Bethpage in 2000, I went to the Tuesday and Wednesday practice rounds, and I had a blast with the camera, everything. And I remember a friend of mine went Thursday through Sunday, and what he came back feeling was you had no idea what was going on aside from what was in front of you. You know, if you didn't see that, like, you didn't see anything other than the group you were following, or you just plant yourself at a hole or at a tee box just to see everybody. But I'm with you, man. Practice rounds, go walk around, see the grounds, take pictures. It's a blast. And autographs, too, for the kids.
A lot of autographs. The guys more laid back. And it was just a much better experience.
Yeah, and Brian, you were allowed access to every hole. You could walk, you know.
Every hole.
Wow.
Every hole. We just sat on 16 to watch them skip it across the water. It was great.
Wow. Yeah, no, cool. That seems like a lot of fun. And that lottery is a way to go, but obviously it's not easy to win that lottery.
Of course not.
Let's go to Frank in Connecticut. What's going on, Frank?
Good morning, boys. How are we?
What's up?
I'm a PGA member, so I have my own ticket. They let PGA members in, so I've been a bunch of times. But they only have season ticket, like, badge holders for the week. There's no such thing as an individual one-day ticket.
Yeah.
That's why you have to hand them back and forth. And it's a lifelong thing. You're on a list, just like Giants season tickets, for example. And there you're not supposed to sell them. So this whole secondary market thing, you're supposed to lose your badge if you're caught selling your tickets for more than face value.
So theoretically, Frank.
But they don't enforce it anymore.
So theoretically, if you get your weekly pass for, I'm just throwing a number out there, let's just say $500. Yeah. People are... from what it looks like on StubHub, taking them, passing them around, and selling them for $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a day?
Right.
Okay. Wow. Just damn.
Well, I mean, okay. Yeah. And that's a great deal you got there, Frank.
I guess I'm never going to complain about someone paying $1,000 to see Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Oh, no. No,
I mean, holy crap.
I mean, it's all relative to people. I mean, I don't think there's somebody who's using their entire savings account to do this unless they're knocking on death's door or something and they want to make sure they see the Masters at the bucket list thing. But, you know, people who do this are people that this is like $12,000 is $120 to
buy a boomer size.
He gets to play there.
Yeah, 3 times.
Yeah, as he reminded us.
Yeah, I mean, well, that would be the thing, right? I mean,
yes.
Seeing those guys and seeing the course and seeing history is one thing.
I would say more than anywhere, but for me, and I want to go to St. Andrews for sure, and Pebble Beach is on that list, but I would say Augusta National has to be the place because of, for one, for years and years, and I don't know if you know this or not because you just got into it, but for years and years and years, the only thing that was ever televised was the back nine. That was it. And they obviously opened it up now, and now you feel like you always knew the back nine, hole by hole, you could describe it. To be out there and play it would just be, yeah, it would be pretty awesome.
I'd be the amen corner starting on 11, and we'd all end up in the water on the left,
oh,
I'm sure.
100%, no doubt. My son asked me what he thought I could shoot there. I literally said 150. Between 140 and 150.
You'd do a little better than that, I think.
I don't know.
I think you'd do a little better than that.
I think I'd 5-putt greens.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Maybe in the beginning, but then you get used to it by the end.
Okay, keep telling yourself that.
No, I'm telling you that. I'm not telling me that. I'm telling you. You've been playing way longer than me.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got CeeLo back with us. He's got another update. What's happening, CeeLo?
All right, going to get to some show and station-related sports-adjacent stuff here in a moment. But first, as part of yesterday's Yankees win over the Tigers, avoiding a sweep in Detroit, we present the Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by ThriveWell Infusion.
Three kicks, the pitch. Fastball, swing on and miss, got him. 11 strikeouts, a masterful performance by Max Fried.
And, of course, is Dave Sims here on the Fan. 7 innings of 5-hit shutout ball, no walks, and the 11 strikeouts for Fried. He picked up his second win as the Yanks held off the Tigers 4-3, and he was our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. And Fried certainly handled his business until the Yankee offense woke up a bit. 2-run homer for Ben Rice in the 7th, and then a 2-run single from Aaron Judge in the 9th. Before another rocky outing for Devin Williams, who had to be lifted in the bottom of the 9th with Mark Leiter Jr., the one to close the door. Here's Williams. Mark Leiter Jr. What am I missing there?
Last week when we were talking about Mark Leiter Jr., Al asked me if that was Al's son. That's all. I thought you knew that. Never mind.
I did not. I'm sorry
about
that.
It was funny. Yeah.
I'll tell you what really impressed me with Al this morning. We were talking about Diaz pointing to the sky on the home run ball.
And happened yesterday, too, with Brazabon.
Well, that's what we were discussing, or it came up. And then I was like, that was that Met reliever not that long ago. Used to do that. I could not remember the name. He goes, oh, yeah, it wasn't Robles? And I was like, I had to look it up.
You.
Hansel Robles.
Yeah, right.
Totally forgot
who went to the
name.
Angels and kept pointing to the sky.
That I remembered. Yeah. I just couldn't grab the name off the top of my head, but he nailed it.
That's pretty
all
good.
All the names he doesn't know, he pulled that one.
Once in a while.
Yeah,
how about that?
There you go. So anyway, here's Williams' early season struggles. Not like a starter who can work out the kinks in a bullpen session in between.
It's hard as a reliever to do stuff in between outings, but, this isn't the first time I've started a season off on the wrong foot, but... all you can do is keep working, you know?
And as Al pointed out to me on the aforementioned warm-up show, it's very early, long season, and similar to the stock market, he said, right now you can't be checking and overreacting to each day, or in this case, each game. But as he tried to drive home that point about the baseball day-to-day, he ended up adding himself to what has become a very long list around these parts.
Just like I wouldn't look at a guy who's like really tearing it up right now.
Like Trent Grisham was for a few days with the Yankees.
Or Chaz Chaz.
No! And that was a real one. That wasn't even him having fun with it.
Damn it. He called him Jism. Chaz Jiz.
You stopped yourself.
Yeah, but in stopping himself.
I know, it makes it worse.
Right? Like when BT stopped himself. That was one of the better ones. Yeah, was Jiz. Right.
Well, everything with him is delivered with emphasis and passion. You know?
Chaz Jiz.
Mm. So there you go. Wow.
Jiz.
Welcome to the club, Al. It's good to have you there. Yeah, we go from that. Yes,
Jimmy Crackhorn, and I don't care.
Wow, go Boomer! How about that? That's funny.
Is that Eddie saying he doesn't care?
No, that was Boomer.
Yeah, but
was that not
Jimmy Crackhorn? Is usually his. Don't care. Even Gio's confused.
Yeah,
see,
I'm confused
just
at that one. Maybe that was a misfire. I don't know.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Okay, good. I feel better. Thought Eddie was mocking me, including me on the show. Yeah.
I thought Boomer gets tired of that conversation.
Okay.
That's where I was going with
that. Boomer gets tired of?
No, Boomer loves the jism.
Yeah. He loves the jism. Of all the things he likes to go back to and...
Fair.
The dead horse.
Yeah.
The jizz.
My face almost melted off my skull that one time when... I brought up the polar bear barnacle thing again. He goes, oh, how long are we going to do this?
I said, what? Excuse me?
I said, would you stop talking about me and the softball team is when I'll stop doing barnacles on a polar bear. Right. Deal?
I mean, Chris on social media and me with the golf ball.
The list of Boomer topics is almost as long as the list of people who have mispronounced Chaz. Yeah.
Yes.
You get it. All right. We go from that to the Cody Bellinger food poisoning story. Turns out some bad hotel room service chicken wings with no sauce or dry rub is what got him. Kept him out of the lineup in Detroit prior to his return yesterday when he went 0-4 with 3 Ks. Mad Dog Russo on SiriusXM not having
it. Why would you have chicken wings from a hotel? That's the, you know, make yourself a grilled cheese sandwich and call it a day. I mean, geez. I mean, he got sick on a grilled cheese tomato on some potato chips on a glass of milk. That should carry you as far as that is concerned.
He was fine. How do you go to the milk with that?
Yeah, sure. Because milk from a hotel is just a perfect thing to get.
Grilled cheese
and what if
potato
he had moldy
chips?
Grilled cheese and got sick?
I'm
sure they weren't staying at a motel, whatever.
No.
By the side of the road. It was probably a glorious hotel, and it happened.
The only thing wrong with this is the fact that they were plain chicken wings. That's the only thing wrong about it. Now, if they had sauce on them, they still would have been dank and raw, and he would have puked. But that to me is weird.
Yeah.
Poop wings.
There's nothing.
It doesn't even.
Plain chicken wing. You don't hear that ever.
No.
There's always something on there. A little seasoning, dry rub.
Something.
Salt and pepper. Something.
Yeah, plain. That is. That's an interesting thing for dog to get upset about.
Wow, it doesn't take much.
But that's another example. Don't eat greasy food before you get on a plane. Like we always talk about. Like, you know, you see people eating pizza and chili, and then all of a sudden they're getting on a 5-hour flight. Like, wings are deep fried.
That was in Pittsburgh?
No. I'm not saying you had it wrong. I'm saying...
maybe it was.
I'm saying you never know unless you get something so basic, you don't know what you're eating.
This is me trying to eat the boneless wings, and I had a miserable time of it. They were giant, those things, man. I got set up.
But you had like 4 of them, right? 6 of them? Maybe 6? You didn't have a lot.
No.
And even Boomer only had like 3, I think.
Yeah. You know what? I wasn't using the sauce properly. Mm. Totally misjudged it. I'll put 20% on me, 80%. They set me up with giant boneless wings. Mm. They were huge, way bigger than the normal boneless wing.
I'm a boneless wing guy. I admitted that on the warm-up show. It's just a simpler process.
I'd like the regular wing better, but there is a situation in which the boneless wing is a better situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the taste with the bone in, obviously, is great. It's just it's a mess.
Right.
You know?
Like if I'm sitting at a bar and there's a lot of people around and I'm eating like, then I'll go with the boneless one because I just hate with all the peel and you're like,
yeah, is there something animalistic about it?
Yeah, right.
You need the wet nap, the wipe.
If people are talking to you, you're like, rah, rah, rah. Just give me a sucker.
It is disgusting.
Boneless.
Yes, boneless.
Bone in. Anyway, Bellinger says no chicken wings for him for at least the next 5 years. Yankees off today. The Giants will come to the Bronx to visit them tomorrow. Meantime, quiet afternoon for the Mets at Citi Field. Shut out by the Marlins 5-0 as their 6-game winning streak came to an end. Not a whole lot to say or add other than a rough outing for Edwin Diaz and some more struggles for the offense. And when that happens, sometimes you get Gary and Keith covering non-Mets topics, including the $500 million extension for Vlad Guerrero Jr. with the Blue Jays, which it came out includes $325 million in the form of a signing bonus. This would be right up Boomer's alley, but...
Wait. $325 million he got now?
Okay, so that the story yesterday, the $325 million signing bonus is part of the deal, which, just as you did, I reacted the same way yesterday. Well, I guess Gary did some digging and wanted to inform Keith on the broadcast, and Keith, right along with how Boomer would think, so Gary reveals that while it's a signing bonus, it will be spread out across the life of the contract, not as an upfront lump sum, and here's where that went.
Expound on that, Gary.
Well, the reason why he gets it in bonus rather than salary is because the bonus would be taxed in his home state of Florida.
Right, so there's no state tax. Right. So that makes perfect sense. That's good. He's got good people working for him. I structured his contract. You don't want to give it away. Not too much, anyway.
There you go. The tax talk.
You explained that perfectly.
Made its way onto SNY in the middle of the broadcast.
Right up Boomer's alley.
Yep. Next up, our guy Keith McPherson hosting last night here on The Fan, coming back from break, and he was introduced to a new word that is regularly used and discussed on this program here with a little help from his producer, Nick Theodora.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
What is a scuttlebutt? Like, I hear that and I cringe. What is a scuttlebutt?
That's what Gio says whenever he has, like, inside information.
Is it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I'm always asleep during the morning show. Never heard him say that.
And then he would further inquire.
That's a Gio-branded term, then. Scuttlebutt. It's like a tidbit?
No, it's kind of like the gossip.
I don't know. When I hear scuttlebutt, I'm like, ugh, chill, y'all. Relax with that. Don't say that.
And it basically just means gossip.
Yeah, I don't have any scuttlebutts for y'all, though.
So there you go.
That music go for the rest of the show?
It might have. I'm not sure. They had the beat going.
Yeah, I don't think that's a... I don't think they used scuttlebutt in that promo because we say it here. I just think, right? Or do they? I don't know. I don't know.
They might, but it's not like this. It's not like that word has never been used other than on this show.
That's my point. Yeah. Like, I don't think that they...
By the way, they're still doing Take the Fan to Church with You like your dad did.
I know.
That is still... I've heard that multiple times this week, which is funny.
Listen to The Fan just like Rex Heuerman did.
Oh, God. Come
on. I don't think that would be appropriate.
Well, Al and I are convinced that he was a WFAN listener.
Yeah.
Definitely. Somewhere along the way.
Right in the demo. Tony Page blaring in the background.
You're probably right.
Right. As he's sitting there getting the burlap ready. And Tony's, come on. Tony's, I'll be here tomorrow. And then they'll be off on Saturday. And then I'll be back. And Jalen's got a baseball game. And Sunday.
Somewhere in Tony's notebook that he kept.
Yeah.
Rex's score prediction for
exactly.
Jets, Dolphins.
We'll go to Rex and Massapequa Funk. He's got a Giants Cowboys prediction. I think the Giants are going to win 30-24. God. Oh, okay. That'd be good. Thanks, Rex. Jot that down. We'll come back to that on Monday. We'll be right back.
All right. Now we go down the hall quickly to the Infinity Sports Network. Our pal Zach Gell putting another friend of the show on the spot right out of the gate.
I saw that the Sports Emmys were announced yesterday. Outstanding personalities in play-by-play. Mike Breen, Joe Davis, Ian Eagle, Noah Eagle, and Mike Tirico. So how about that nice little list? Hello, Ian Eagle. How are you?
Is it strange that my wife is rooting hard for Joe Davis?
So Ian's always prepared. He's quick with a reply. Zach continued to instigate a bit.
I love Noah, right? Your son is unbelievable. He's got a lot of time. You know, I'm not saying that you're an old man, but it is your time to win. Like, no one could be the Cinderella that got to the Final Four. Now you're the big gun. Get the job done. And then you know what? If he does win the Emmy, you punish him. You send him to his room.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about just grounding him that day. So then he can't even go. And he can't win. Is that wrong? But it's really cool. Beyond cool.
Got to be, obviously. It is. I mean, all jokes aside, and it happened relatively quick, obviously, for Noah.
Yeah, I would think that he'd want his kid to win.
I'm sure he does. He's having some fun, you know.
I mean, even though that he's got all that time and I mean, he's got enough accolades, that would be a cool thing. Hey, you beat me.
I think it's good either way.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't sift through the clip yet. Marco dropped it. I guess Van Pelt and Dan Patrick are both winless in their Emmy nominations. One's like 0 for 8 and the other's 0 for 5.
Is that true?
Yeah. So it's not necessarily an easy thing to win. So maybe from that standpoint, Ian might not be rooting for Noah. I don't know.
I mean, this is a sports Emmy or a real Emmy?
I would assume sports Emmy.
Yeah, sports analyst play-by-play, I think it was.
I don't think...
Or personality play-by-play.
Okay,
but it's actual Emmy Award shows.
I didn't know. I thought maybe they did. Like, you know how with the Oscars, there's 10 million categories that never make it to TV.
Right.
So I thought maybe it was one of those
things.
During
the commercial break. I think this is sports Emmys, but I'm not 100%.
Which is a totally different ceremony.
What did he say? I think our guy Bruce Beck has a bunch of them, for real.
Yeah, no, I know.
That might be local sports Emmy, though.
Oh, and
that's a different thing.
I saw that the sports Emmys were
sports
announced
Emmys.
Yesterday.
Sports Emmys.
I think
there's a local sports Emmys too.
There's definitely a local sports Emmys. I mean, being on the distribution list at SNY. I mean, they have a long, like Sal Licata, I believe, is nominated for a local sports Emmy.
I think he won one.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. So there you go. I think this is different. This is national.
Local sports.
Seems that way, at least. Yeah. In any event. Speaking of national, let's go to Dallas last night. Big return for Luka Doncic against the Mavericks. Tears were shed before the game with the video tribute. And then I guess the Mavericks fans were shedding some tears based on the way Luka played against his now former team.
Luka one-on-one against Max Christie, driving toward the bucket. Luka got there, throws up a reverse. Good, and he's got 40. 40 points for Luka Doncic in his return to Dallas.
He ended up going for 45 plus 8 rebounds, 6 assists, or was it 8? Six, eight boards,
doesn't matter.
Six, yeah, it doesn't matter.
He had a big game.
Yes, he did. The 45 points are what mattered as the Lakers won the game going away. He got a standing O as he came off the court, so they were certainly showing the love for their former player last night. Here he was immediately after the game on ESPN.
I don't know how I did it because when I was watching that video, I was like, there's no way I'm playing this game. But, you know, all my teammates had my back. They were really supporting me, so I really appreciate that.
And he certainly showed out to the point where his current head coach, J.J. Redick, was impressed with what he saw.
His ability to then go perform, lights turn on, he's teary-eyed still as we walk out on the court for the tip ball. To have the emotional resolve to then go put on that kind of performance, it's superhuman.
7 of 10 from three. Even better than Kristaps was against the Knicks on the other night.
How much do you think a ticket like... So they were saying tickets for that game last night were some of the most expensive they'd ever seen in Dallas. And this is... So this was Thursday. I guess as of Tuesday, they were saying tickets as high as $2,300. Think about Madison Square Garden and what a ticket price would be if that was a similar situation. Like, let's say Patrick Ewing was traded unexpectedly and came back and it was $2,025. Those tickets would be $10,000 here, right?
Oh, yeah. I would think so. It's something a little bit different, but just to show you that ticket prices can go up crazy for big events, my plumber, who's an Islanders season ticket holder, and his tickets are like $65. They're up there. $65 a game. He sold each one for $1,200 for the Ovechkin game.
And a lot of Capital fans really? In the building. Yep.
I mean, and he just admitted, he's like, I love going to the games. I don't have the greatest seats. They're 65, you know, and he
paid for his seats next year.
Exactly. Yeah, it's incredible. But yeah, that's a big one, obviously, especially with all the emotion of those Mavericks fans. And Luka did what he had to do.
Yes,
by the way,
did.
just to complete the conversation, these sports Emmys is the real deal.
Yeah.
Like, this is from the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. So this isn't local anything.
There is a local.
Yeah, there might be, but I'm just saying relation to what we were talking about. This is real.
This is the big one.
This is the big one.
When you heard the other names and that Joe Davis,
which
Mike
I kind
Tirico,
of assumed, but you guys brought up a good point. Is this for real? Yeah.
Absolutely. Knicks and Pistons tonight in Detroit. This is the first of a back-to-back for the Knicks. They'll play the Cavs tomorrow night at home. So you got no OG tonight. Josh Hart, Mitchell Robinson all ruled out. Hawks at Nets coverage here on The Fan, and the Rangers with another ugly performance on home ice, even with the Sam Rose and John Davidson reunion on TNT as they lose to the lowly Flyers 8-5. They'll turn around and visit the Islanders tonight at UBS Arena.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer out today. He will be back on Monday. He's going out to a big Wasps hockey tournament. Those guys, you know, they usually bring home the bacon. They usually win. So we'll know what type of mood is. Boomer is in on Monday based on those results. I'm hoping for the best because we don't need an ornery Boomer and the Wasps losing to some team from Nova Scotia. And then we got to deal with that all morning on top of his Rangers being quite possibly eliminated by the Islanders tonight.
Yeah.
And I mean, no playoff Rangers hockey. Last year, we talked about it all the way up until the conference final to the point we were opening the show every single day after one of the games and Al lost his mind. He needed the Rangers to be eliminated. Well, you got to thank the sports gods this time around, Al, because we're not even going to have a single playoff game for the New York Rangers. Now, if you knew last year that their long run to the conference finals, would you sign for the fact that they didn't make the playoffs the next year? So if someone came to you and said, all right, for the next 2 years, you're going to have the Rangers go all the way to the conference finals. We're going to talk about it like crazy this year. But next year, they're not going to make the playoffs.
I don't mind a little playoffs. It's the long extended playoffs.
So like a round you're okay with?
Yeah. Like I would have.
Two is pushing it.
Correct. Yeah.
And then three, you're out.
It's too much.
God forbid they went to the cup finals like they did against the Kings seven, 8 years ago. Right.
God forbid they were playing for a championship.
They were.
We'll do 4 hours on the goddamn Rangers. There is no reason to do 4 hours on the Rangers. There just isn't. I don't know what else to tell you. All we're doing is talking about the Rangers.
Rangers, Rangers, Rangers.
I'm reaching my breaking point, Jerry, where I'm like going to snap. Like, I can't hear anything more about the Rangers. I just can't. There's nothing more to say. These seven-game series, get lost.
So you got to be thrilled that they're not making a playoff.
I didn't remember how much it bothered me. Yeah. I need the Rangers to be eliminated. I just need them out. This has got to end Friday.
And I think it did, actually, now that I remember correctly.
Now I need the NFL draft to get here and
well,
happen.
Guess what? 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, I that's the one thing I do agree. We don't agree on a lot, but that is the one thing I am with him on. The over-analysis of the NFL draft makes my head explode.
Well, the reason why it sucks for us is, and we didn't do it as much last year because they weren't, well, actually we did because of the Giants. But we've done it so much because the team sucks so bad. It's the top of the draft.
I know, but
I mean, if the Jets and Giants were drafting 26th and 27th, we'd barely talk about it.
Maybe, but even when they're drafting high, when you look at from 5 years ago, these guys don't amount to anything. A couple times, you know, you hit on a couple of guys here and there.
Yeah, but it's,
we sit there. I heard McMonagle say, and he's not wrong when he's talking about the way teams make trades around the draft. And he's like, you realize how valuable a third round pick is? Yeah, you know what they are? Nothing. That's what they mostly turn out to be. Yeah. But I get what his point is when you're trading up and around, there are certain values on the. I get that. But when you really look at the NFL draft and all the guys that get selected every year and how many guys have a career of longer than, let's say, 3 years, most of these guys miss.
Well, yeah, but then again, you know, the league is filled with superstar players that were also drafted. You know,
oh, no, there's no question you're going to hit on some. My point is we sit there and break down the fourth round selection.
Well, that's that.
Give
no.
me a break.
No,
it's a complete win. The fact that they broke up the draft. I like the idea that the first round is one night. That's cool. The rest of the draft should be the next day.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
who's watching on Saturday? Come on.
There are people. Definitely people.
Please. And with the 437th pick of the 2025 draft, we take Joe Jablonski from Middle Tennessee State University A&T.
See, I don't think a lot of people are talking
Here's
about
Mel Kiper.
That,
boy, this guy's got it. This guy's going to be great, but he's got, man, look at the mobility. He can get side to side. He can rush the passer. You never hear from the guy.
True. I mean, that's that part of it we're not doing. But as far as, like, you know, two top 10 picks again.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's these teams needing quarterbacks again. You know, it's
and the just, first round's fun.
It is.
First round's fun.
Especially when you get going and you figure out, okay, you know, now Cam, what are the, I have no idea what these teams are going
to
do.
No, are you 100% sold that Cam Ward's going to the Titans, or is it a big smokescreen?
I think
he is.
Well, yeah, I
who
think
knows?
That one I'm more confident with. It's the Travis Hunter to the Browns and the Giants taking Abdul Carter that now everybody has happening that I'm not so sure about. And then after that, what the hell happens?
Right. I read something this morning, an unnamed GM in the league, Shedeur Sanders, fringe NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
And then you got other guys out there saying if you don't take him, you're missing on a great talent and a franchise quarterback. No one knows.
Polarizing, Jerry.
Yeah, oh, it is. No, I know. And everybody's got an opinion. And, I mean, for they're worthless most of the time. Yes. You know?
Yeah, no, I know. But it's just it becomes a talking point here. Like, I remember, so this is a good example. When I first got to Pittsburgh, they talked about the MLB draft. And I'm like, why are you guys talking about the Major League Baseball draft? It's because they had the number one pick every single year. They were hoping that was going to be the guy who turned Mike that Trout. Franchise around.
I get it. I totally
and I was like, I got to talk Major League Baseball draft?
I would tell you, in terms of this draft, while Abdul Carter might be the better pick, maybe, I don't know, for the Giants, there will be excitement this summer if you ended up with a Sanders. I really believe that there will be a different feeling when we go to Giants camp in August. I don't know. There's something different about that.
No, I agree, but the closer we get, the more I'm not believing it's going to happen, even though I could have sworn that was the case a couple weeks ago. But they got me on my toes, these Giants.
The one thing I don't understand about all of the oversaturation of conversation about the draft is, why are we not talking about the Jets drafting a quarterback?
Because I don't think that there is going to be somebody that's available to them at that point that would be worth them taking with their seventh pick when they've got so many other issues they have to address. What'll be interesting is if Shedeur does drop and they didn't expect that, what do they do? You know, but that's the reason why. In this particular, if this were last year, same situation. Let's just say you just take the quarterbacks from last year and you put in the Jets situation this year with Aaron Glenn and Justin Fields and everything else. I think we'd be talking about it more.
Okay.
Because there was more guys there available for them to take.
Fair. I look at that team as, unless they are so sold on Justin Fields, really, and maybe they are, and then if they should be so lucky that Justin Fields turns out to be what some thought he would be coming out of college, and maybe they hit on this and they don't need another quarterback. It just seems to me like we discuss all these teams, quarterback. The Jets have been in quarterback hell for 30 years, essentially.
Yep.
Like, and we just dismiss the fact that the Jets need a quarterback.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I do think that there's reasons why. Because, you know, the first guy's going number one, probably. The second guy, not many people are sold on, but probably will go before the Jets pick. And then after that, it's just throwing crap at the wall.
Well, people are talking. I don't even know this guy's Hawk. Is that the guy's name?
You're Shuck.
Shuck. That. I mean, all of a sudden, they're not interested in him. We're not interested
no.
in
See, any I, of these no. Other guys. I wouldn't be at that point drafting that high.
I'm not
with
saying
all the
seven.
Issues.
I'm not saying seven, but like, why not make a move to trade up to get him late first round or
yeah.
early?
Well, they also
round.
Drafted a quarterback last year too. You know, and that Jordan yeah. Travis who got hurt. So I don't know, man. They got a long way to go.
Oh, those I know. Jets. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.